Hey, what's going on, everyone out there? This is Ken with Dead End Sports. At MyBookie, winning season has returned. Winning season with MyBookie means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contest, and Squares. At MyBookie, winning season also means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. It's time to celebrate the NFL season, so rejoice. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code DESports and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play designed to add more excitement to sports you love and the games you bet. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, collect your cash. Use promo code DESports and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie.
You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong.
What's up, everybody? This is me, Dante Nero, and I want to tell you about my show, Man School 202. This podcast is about sex, relationship, and life advice. We give you that kind of advice and direction every single week, with me hosting with my boy Harry Turjanian and my other little dude Andre D. Thompson. So subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man.
This is Dead End Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead End Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me on the show, we got Nikki Ducey.
What's going on? It's your boy. It's your boy.
FIFO 24/7.
What it do? What it do?
Shelton J.
What's happening? What's going on?
And BZ430 will be joining us in a bit. He's recording Dead End Gaming right now. They are actually celebrating or recording their 100th episode. So,
hey,
yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah, century in, brothers, man. So that's a dope accomplishment. It's hard.
2 years.
It's 2 years. 100. Like, man, that's a level that's of dedication. Dedication and commitment, man. You know, that it takes to get there, you know, and that team was really just put together from people listening and people that we met here and there that we had relationships with and that they had relationships with. And it was almost like the freaking Avengers. You know, it started out with just me and B, and then the experts came on and, you know, I was like, all right, y'all got it. I'm gonna let y'all, you know, hold it down. And I had to work, my schedule changed at work and then I just never went back, but I felt like it was in good hands, you know? So
you passed the torch.
I did, man. You know, I was on there clowning and being foolish, doing what I do.
Hey man, to each of y'all, man, I'm really proud of all y'all, man. And where you started to where you are today, as far as with all the stuff that we have going on, man, that's a big accomplishment for black men and what y'all have done, man. And it goes without saying that y'all did some things, man. I'm really proud of y'all. I'm proud to be around y'all, man. So,
you know, appreciate that, Shelton. And really, man, and I know y'all here to talk sports, but y'all just
we got to celebrate every now and then.
Yeah,
let me
get this last one off. You guys in the game, you guys should subscribe. And then I got one more thing to talk about. And then, we last month in 8 months, eclipsed 1 million downloads on the network this year.
Oh, yeah.
It took us 12 just to do that last year. And in 8 months, we've surpassed that. And we didn't really add any new shows. So that's for independent podcast network. That's one hell of an accomplishment. So, yeah. But we don't get there without you guys, man. And let's get this show. Because I see the numbers going up. I see the numbers going up every week. You guys are showing up watching. We appreciate it. So let's get this show up and running. You guys like it. I love the feedback and I love the response every week.
And we show up to talk among each other because we enjoy it, but we like talking to you guys too because we engage with you guys see. So, last thing, Matt and Lee, you guys have been hitting us up. We'll have those details. Man, we almost there, man. We just trying to figure out the logistics, the mechanics of how everything is going
to
work.
It's not as easy as people would seem.
It isn't because we wanted to be fair to people. And there have been people hitting me up, hitting you guys up individually. And you know, it's like a first come, first serve basis, so to speak. We don't know who came first or whatnot. So, we only have so many spots and we only have so much time. So, so we're just internally trying to figure out the best way to do that.
And you know what, Ken? Like, look, the continued support is really what we need because at this point of Dead End, everything, Dead End Sports, Dead End Gaming, Dead End Hip Hop, everything Dead End, we need more time. And the only way that we'll be able to have more time to produce the things that you guys want is by your support. And support doesn't always just mean money. It means tell somebody about it. It means that on your Twitter and your IG, you share it. We just got to spread it. You know what I'm saying? Even more. I know we are not small. We ain't the biggest, but we need your help. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way that we're going to be able to give you even more than what you want.
Yeah, for real. All right, man, let's get into it. We got a lot that has happened in the NBA. We did a special show last week about the strike, which
would you call it a boycott?
Many people said the most accurate description of it is a strike.
Okay.
Because it was a work stoppage. And because they are employees. So I'm gonna go with that one. But they are back. Obviously, as you guys see, we have two game sevens. We're going to talk about some of those games. We're going to talk about the games that are complete and just kind of catch up on where we are.
Well, I just got one question.
Okay. All right. Shit.
Mr. What you got? Say, what happened to your boy, the MVP, Mr. Greek Freak? What happened?
One game, bro.
One game.
Why are we always talking about one game?
You know what I'm saying? Hey, B, I need you to finish with
that. Why
are
we always talking about, nah. Did he play well? No.
But
based off of Giannis on his.
But Nick, this is
the. Let me ask you this. Was you asking the same question in the first round when they faced the Magic and they lost? You said the same thing, right?
I asked the same question.
What happened after that? They won four straight.
But I asked the same question every year. And that's the issue. Because it's not about.
Is he supposed to go undefeated in the playoffs?
No. It's not about the first round or the second round. It's about championships and also being the biggest version of you, of yourself in that moment. And Giannis consistently shrinks when we put him in that spotlight. Every round, no matter if it's the first round final, he might make it out the first round. Doesn't matter if it's the second round, Eastern Conference Finals. Every time the pressure cooker is put on him, he succumbs to it. And an MVP or the greatest player in the league at the moment is not, that's not supposed to happen to them.
So he
has major weaknesses.
So he can't have a bad game.
But it's not about a bad game.
Because it is, because we're talking about, you said this last series, they won the series in four straight. As far as like after that loss.
How many championships the man got?
He has zero.
How many finals has he played in?
He has zero final appearances.
But he's the best player?
Yes. He's the MVP. No. What do you mean no? That's what he's going to be. How you going to say no? That's what he's going to be.
That's fine if he's the MVP. Okay. But that's why I have five legit guys that I take before him.
And we'll,
because when it comes in these moments, he shrinks.
Who are the five people?
Dame
is home.
Okay, that's cool. Dame, Bron.
He ain't even got five. He just saying niggas at this point. You just saying niggas that you like. I'm just saying, bro. It's the second round. He lost to Jimmy, but a good Miami Heat team.
No.
Yeah. It came down to the wire, did it not?
First of all, Giannis is weak mentally. We've seen it so years.
He's not weak mentally, bro. Come on, bro.
And listen, he
trained with Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant don't train with weak niggas. You see what he was like with Dwight Howard. He get niggas. He don't fuck with weak niggas.
Look. Giannis is eager to be great. But the mental stress and pressure of the moment overcomes him several times. I'll put it to you like this, Nick.
In game one, you're going to say that?
Nick, there's more times in his career. Because you're saying one game. I'm saying his career. In his career, he succumbs to the pressure. How many times has Giannis overcome?
Is it the pressure or is it the fact that his game hasn't developed to
both? Because one is
indicative of the gate shooting threes.
One is indicative of the other. When the game slows down and it grinds up and it's supposed to be a half court game, we see the flaws in his game. And yeah, he could be confident coming into the game, but when, just like LeBron will be wanting to take them free throws at the end of the game.
Pop did that to him early. That's why he got swept in his first series. Plus, he was up.
But where Giannis is now, some of the things that he does in game shouldn't be happening.
Like what?
My main.
He missed a lot of free throws.
Free throws.
That's a LeBron problem. The things you're criticizing him early on in his career. Cause he's not even 10 years in his career.
As an aside, I don't know Luka was that bad shooting free throws either. Yeah. God damn.
Yeah, he's bad. Yeah. He's bad as a shooter, period. He makes the best shots.
Hey, people, and you know I'm a stats guy. He got 18, 10, and 9. So that's a bum. If it's five players better than
that. I didn't say he was a bum. I didn't say, whoa.
Hold on. That's not Giannis standards, Shelton.
Yeah, that's not Giannis standards.
What I'm saying is, that man can have an off game, and it's still better than your average game. That's my point. And yeah, like Nick said, it's one game. If we had been 3-4 games in, and it was like 3-1 or something like that, or 2-1 even, then I would kind of understand. But he sleepwalked the first game.
Then tell me what he is for his career. Then
he's developed. He's gotten better every year of his career.
Every year, this man started from nothing.
He's not getting better.
How can you say that when we're just in the second round? We're talking about this year, right? Are you talking? You're talking about career wise.
I'm talking about career wise. I mentioned.
Why are you talking about career wise when we talking about this year?
I talked about it during the season. There are major flaws in this guy's game, which will not allow the Bucks to make it to the finals. I've been saying.
So you don't have them going to the making out the East.
They can.
All right, come on, FIFA. What is it? Is it Uzi Wally? Is it one mic? Come on, tell me. Yeah. What's going on, bro? Like, are you gonna make a decision on is Giannis? You said Giannis ain't top five. You said he shouldn't even be the MVP. You said that this nigga is on watch as far as he ain't that dude mentally. He may be physically, but mentally he ain't that dude. Yet you still think he gonna make it out the East?
Because I like their coach. I like their team.
They not making it out the East.
Thank you, Ken. Okay. Even though I disagree with you, you taking the stand. You on the fence right now.
I am on the fence because that's the quandary I find myself in when I watch these Bucks games. Is that Giannis, great player. He has probably more than anybody right now in the NBA in terms of what God gave him. The stuff you can't teach, he probably got more than anybody else in the league right now, right? But when we're talking about skill set, when we're talking about championship clutch basketball, he doesn't have it. So it has to make me question. But when I look at the rest of the squad, I like the fact that they got a 7-foot 3-point shooting big man. I like Coach Bud for this team. I like Chris Middleton as a sidekick. I think they overpaid for him, but he fits what they want to do. They have a nice squad that should go to the promised land. But what is holding them back?
Chris Middleton.
Yeah, 28 years.
One game. Not when he needed to. He couldn't make a shot in them last 4 or 3 minutes.
Neither could Giannis.
But like Shelton said, can Giannis not have a bad game? Like, we've seen LeBron have bad games. We've seen Kobe have bad games. We've seen Jordan have bad games. He needs somebody else to pick him up every now and then.
We're talking about at the end of the day. So Giannis has had enough bad games to the point where he can't make it to the finals. But he's a two-time MVP back-to-back.
Back-to-back! Did he just lose game 7 to the Heat? Ken? Did he just lose game 7? Ken, did he lose game 7 to the Heat the other day? Or was that just game 1? So how are you going to predict that he ain't going to make it to the finals when he just got out of the first round, nigga? Like, what's up?
People, who's going to win the series?
This series?
Yes.
I got Milwaukee.
Milwaukee in what?
In seven?
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I typed in the chat.
Huh?
I typed the same thing in the chat.
Yeah. I got the Bucks in 7. To me, they have more talent, and Miami's not. Their talent is an experience. It's very young. And yeah, they're dogs and I love them. Tyler Hero has that dog about him. So does Kendrick Nunn. Duncan Robinson, he got the green light. So he has supreme confidence. But at the end of the day, when we're talking about playoff basketball, it comes down to experience and execution down the stretch. Why I like Coach Bud and the squad he has. Not saying that Spoelstra can't do that, But yeah, they got Dragic, and yeah, they got, but the Milwaukee Bucks have been there. They have gone through the playoffs. I like them, but I don't love them. And the only reason why I don't love them is because Giannis is a big question mark for me. Not saying that he's not talent, not saying that he ain't great, just saying that when I need a bucket, I need to be able to give it to you and move the fuck out of the way. I was watching the Dan Jordan documentary again today. And how many times Doug Collins say, yo, that was just get Jordan the ball, get the fuck out of the way. And the majority of the great players that have won championships, we could put in that situation.
You know what,
Giannis? I agree with you. I was going to say, I agree with you on that. But I think I question the Bucks for different reasons than you. Mine is his supporting cast. Like Nick said, when he when it comes down the stretch and he's struggling a little bit, he needs to have somebody he can lean on and count on to get him a sure bucket. And that should be Middleton. It should be, but it's not. Also, Eric Bledsoe a little bit. You know, Eric Bledsoe should be able to get a timely bucket every now and again.
Eric Bledsoe should be averaging 20 in this series. I don't give a damn. Ooh. If you on the court, you playing.
He's not on the court. He didn't play in game one. I don't know what the injury is. I think
I thought he played game. I thought he played.
Mm-mm. He didn't play.
And they really don't have a – he played. He played yesterday, didn't he?
He didn't. Nope.
I thought he did. I could have sworn he played yesterday.
Nah.
No, he did not. That shows you how much he means to me because I ain't even see him out there. but they don't have a third scorer or a third player to take up the slack when those two. It's got to be somebody that they can go to, and they really don't have that third player too. So that's what I question. Not him, but his supporting cast.
So kind of like the Lakers problem or any
exactly. Team I was just going to say
has
that
like only two big guys and need that third guy that hasn't clearly been identified yet.
Mm-hmm. But Kuz can do it though. At times, Kuz has done it. He did it in that last series, one of those games. I can't remember which one it was, but Kuz hit a couple buckets. Every now and again, you got somebody that can do it. We know that it's Lou Will for the Clips. All those teams have a third player that can do some work when need be.
They got five players.
Oh yeah, they only count.
Their third player.
Playoff P.
Yeah. You're absolutely right, Paul George. I'm sorry, he might not even be third. But yeah, all those teams got somebody that they can go to get a timely bucket outside of the top one or second player on that team. But the Bucks, don't have that. They don't have anybody that they can consistently go to get a bucket when they need it outside of those two.
Shelton, you watched game one? Did you watch game one?
No, not all of it. I watched.
Yeah, I need to know. I want to know what happened in the fourth quarter because I didn't watch.
I watched the last like 2-3 minutes of the fourth quarter.
So describe Giannis's play. Was it just him missing shots? Was he tentative?
It was more like he was missing shots, but it was also more of like he was trying to find a rhythm. And at the same time, you could tell it was like something was off.
In the fourth quarter,
Yeah. It was like it's more specifically in the last, because it was a close game. Mm-hmm. Like the reason why we and I got a question about Jimmy, but the reason why Jimmy's getting all this praise is because of how clutch he was. Like it took shots. It took multiple shots to put down the Bucks. So it wasn't like it was some blowout. It wasn't like Giannis had a horrible game. He just didn't have a Giannis game. But it took multiple shots, and it was like there was opportunities for Giannis to come back, like to counter those. He just wasn't able to, and his teammates weren't able to get shots at all either. So it's just I'm looking at the situation like we said the same things about LeBron when he did before his first title, as far as what is his supporting cast like? Is he a clutch guy down the stretch? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand why. That's what I'm saying. Like, and this is after he won MVP too, just before the title. Like, I'm not saying Giannis is going to win a title, but I don't know why people are so critical of Giannis after every fucking game. Like,
I'll tell you why.
It's just one game, especially game one.
I'll tell you why. Same energy, bro. And everybody going to get this shit, right? LeBron's almost done, but we spent 17 years criticizing every single aspect of his game. There is no new LeBron left. So we're going to spread that out across the league, especially when you have certain accolades attached to your name. Back-to-back MVP, now MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, didn't show up, and people identified the strategy that caused them to lose to, who was it, Toronto.
In
four straight games. There's a standard that's been placed on him by the awards that he's earned. So now what comes with that, it comes with expectations.
And criticism.
So Giannis got a pass up until I want to say maybe this year. And I think this year, that's when the standards are starting to be applied. I think it was
last year. Last year, when he got, like you said, when Toronto won four straight.
It started, you know, they started to kind
of. But that reminds me of the, that reminds me of, not to say to this extent, but it reminds me of the Jordan rules. Like when they found a way to beat up Jordan by doing that strategic, like.
But what did Jordan do?
He came back. Right. Exactly.
So, and I'm with you. We gotta start giving them, like, we gotta apply the appropriate amount of criticism, but we also gotta give them time.
Yes. Right?
So, but I also look at Harden gets criticized immensely. Westbrook. Curry, even when he wins championships. So it's just fair game for everybody. And, but when you have back to back MVPs, oh, you're on a whole nother level, right? Mm-hmm. Cause you're telling everybody that you want some other shit and they expect you to deliver.
And I get that. And I'm all about being objective, but my thing is like, it's just game one. Like Shelton said, like, it ain't like it's we in game four, game five, and they down by a game or two. Like, it's just game one. He already won. Like, wait till we get to the, like, towards that part of the series before we start really asking who the fuck this nigga is.
You know,
cause
why I criticize
him?
Playing against Jimmy Butler.
You know why I criticize him?
What was that?
Because exactly. Thank you, Ken.
Wow.
You got a 7-foot literal freak out here. There should be no equal. You see what Donovan Mitchell is averaging for the playoffs?
41.
38.75. That's what he's averaging for the playoffs.
Oh, so it must
that's crazy.
Well, yeah, 41 in the series, 38 for the playoffs.
Well, it's the first series.
Oh, it is the first series. I'm sorry.
I saw 41, but whatever. It doesn't matter. Three points.
They had at the beginning of the game. That's the only reason
it's a hell of points.
Either way. My expectation of what Giannis should be, which is the same expectation I have on LeBron, I've been very consistent on that, is he should be closer to that. Giannis should be averaging 30-something. And I know it's only one game. I understand that, but I'm not just looking at the one game. I'm looking at last season. I'm looking at the previous postseasons. I'm looking at the regular season. I'm looking at the games where they don't blow him out and they need Giannis down the stretch. Giannis he becomes a ghost at times, most of the time, because he doesn't have no go-to move. And when they need a bucket, it's hard for him to get a bucket. And to me, that's hard for me to say that you're the best player in the league. When that's your Achilles heel.
No one said he's the best player in the
league. People
were. He's the most valuable player is what he is. That's the difference.
People say that he can be the best player.
They're saying he's the best player now.
I don't know if
they're saying that now, but last year I know they were saying that a lot.
We had that argument of can he be the face of the league, right?
And we had, I think we even had a discussion about him possibly being the best player in the league last year.
But we knew he had to, but we already know he had to add certain things to his game and be consistent at it.
And he hasn't added it. And that's what
I said. Didn't he not start the game off with a three?
How many did he hit for the game?
I think he's like two.
You know what I think about him though, man? When I think about Giannis, I think about the fact that out of all those players that we think about, when we think about the greatest and we think about these people that are doing these certain things, even like we talk about FIFO in the pressure cooker and all that stuff, he came out of all those players that we think about, most of them were born into it. So they've always had that pressure. This guy is kind of new. You know what I'm saying? So these are all new experiences for him. And I was trying to think while we were talking just now, like, who was the Bucks scoring leader and team leader before him? Like, who passed
Kareem?
Who was it?
That's probably Lou Alcindor.
I mean, no. Before he got there, who was like, who passed the torch to him? Who was the best player on the team before him? Do you know?
The last
Michael Redd.
Y'all gonna say, I was going to say Michael Redd from Ohio State.
Michael Redd probably was, that probably was it. So it's kind of like this guy kind of had to learn on the fly. You know what I'm saying? So some of this stuff is new experiences for him. Now, I agree with you. I think that the work stoppage and the stuff that happened just now kind of threw him off a little bit. And I think that it kind of affected his game one. That's my thoughts. When I think about him, he's not there mentally. He don't know it yet. So this next game is going to tell that story for me, for him. Now, if he struggles his next game, I'm with you, FIFO. I'll switch team. But for right now, I think it's just him just getting acclimated to being he wasn't a star. He didn't come into the league. LeBron was indoctrined before he even made it to a professional basketball court. He was the next. You know what I'm saying? Most of the guys we named grew up that way. And they always was somebody famous and somebody, you know, of stature. He came from nowhere. So, you know, he represents like the poor man. So we'll see what he does as far as his bounce back. That's what's going to tell me whether he's a champion or not. So this exactly. game is going to mean a lot.
The playoffs is all about, you mentioned a FIFA adjustments, right? So we'll see how they adjust to game two.
It's also about moments. And tell me Giannis' biggest moment in the playoffs. I'll wait.
He could have it sooner than later. We don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. He's a two-time MVP.
Okay, so is Steve Nash. Did he make it to the finals? No, but he had moments in the playoffs, though.
He did.
Exactly.
Hey, does MVP voting count the playoffs?
Mm-mm.
Right. So it's a regular season award.
I understand that. But the MVP means that you are one of the top players in the league. Yes or no?
Yes. But you know what I'm starting to the feeling I'm getting from the MVP nowadays, the way they're handing this award out?
It's a popularity contest?
Man, bro, like back in the day, it feels like if they had gave you an MVP, like, well, I guess Giannis is competing for a title. But you look at Harden getting it, Westbrook, we understand that was
monumental.
Yeah. So that made sense.
But then he did it twice after that. So they kind of watered it down.
Exactly. But Harden was like, you know, we give it to you because we felt bad for you. Like it's starting to hold less weight, I guess is what I'm saying.
I'm not going to say it holds less weight. I just think that we have, like FIFA said, once you win MVP, now you're on a championship watch. And like how your point was, Ken, why, like we could be critical, but we also had to let niggas grow. Like when Derrick Rose won his MVP, he was what? Just in his third, fourth year in the league, still on his rookie deal. Like we didn't know what he was going to be. We expected him and projected him to be, you know, one of the best. But then look what happened a couple, three years later. Like the expectations we got, I just go off of the shit that I see.
Aaron Rose had a lot of moments though.
He had a lot of moments too. Man. Yeah.
In two playoff series. Man. Well, not series, but two playoff years. As a rookie, he came in against that Boston team and took him seven games.
But see, we're talking about MVP though. It has nothing to do with the playoffs.
No. But what I'm saying is that the MVP puts you on watch, and it puts you on this pedestal that we're watching, and the expectations come with that. That's what I'm saying. MVP puts a highlight on your name to say this dude right here need to be performing because he's the MVP. I mean, of the league, there's 450 players in the NBA. And this guy was the most valuable to his squad. This one guy. So right. That means that when you get to the playoffs, even if you lose, you are supposed to perform at a level above all of your peers because you're the guy. You're voted the guy. So no, I don't want to hear that. There's no excuses. You know, I came at KD for several years.
Does he have to sweep? The whole playoffs?
No, it's not about sweeping. You can have a bad game and you can lose. But my point with Giannis is that it's been the same point for years now. It's been the same point, which is why. But it's not.
You hot right now. But just
we'll be back next week.
It's not about one game. It's about Giannis.
Boy, Giannis, man. I can only imagine what he's going to do with Giannis, man. What?
I gave KD the same criticism. I criticize LeBron too.
We got to run the tape back on the
real. I got to find that.
I ain't never heard this nigga say it. Man, we're bad about LeBron. But since we talk about stars and shit, Jimmy is the one who won the game. The question I had like after that game was like, is Jimmy considered like a superstar?
He's no. Borderline.
No.
And some people, not me.
Jimmy Butler is the Russell Wilson of basketball. Where he gets it done most places he's at, but he's never going to get the credit he deserves.
But Russell Wilson is looked at as a superstar, though.
Yeah.
And not like, I don't think in the light that he should be.
That's because he's black.
That's a whole other story.
I mean,
I think he's a borderline star.
Is he top 10?
Hell no.
Nah, I don't think he's that good.
Hell no. No.
That's why the Bucks should win this series.
Jimmy's what, top 15?
Barely.
Damn, what?
Can somebody tell us what happened to Donovan Mitchell? I just seen him walk off the court.
Mm-mm.
We're currently watching game 7 of the Denver Utah series. But yeah. Donovan Mitchell just walked off the court. He probably just frustrated. I hope it ain't nothing serious though.
Don't tell me he late for the walkout.
if he make this,
Utah's in trouble. Yeah, Utah's in trouble.
Trying to go for a kill shot.
Yeah, they're trying to kill him in the first half.
I mean, they still got Jordan Clarkson.
But not
Jimmy JC Butler. To the rescue.
It depends on which one.
The JC they need is Jesus, nigga.
I think Jimmy Butler is a top 20 player. I don't think he's top 15.
I got him top 15. Yeah. I can't name 15 players better than Jimmy Butler.
I can name 15 players.
The only reason I would put him top 15 is the way that team has done this year. Cause that.
Yeah, if we give credit to Chris Paul.
You gotta give credit to him.
But Chris Paul was a superstar for several years. I think.
But he hasn't been one for a long time though.
But this was a player.
Jimmy's always been questionable. Like superstar, all-star. He's always been questionable. He's never been a solidified superstar in his league.
That is, I agree with that. Yeah.
Didn't Miami make the playoffs last year?
No.
No, they didn't.
No.
Ken, what's up, bro? You straight as shit on Jimmy. I asked the question because, like, looking
at right. Yeah, but we saw Spo was a good coach, though.
Spo is top five as a coach, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But we've seen Jimmy, like, when he's not the best three-point shooter. He's not the best, like, scorer as far as, like, who you would want with the bucket to end the game. But he still gets buckets. Like, he still does what he needs to do. He makes the plays that he needs to make. Why isn't he considered a top 15?
He's blue collar, man. Yep. Like, yeah, I think that's what it is. Like, he's that guy that worked his way up from, like, what, second round?
He's like,
yeah.
Let me ask you this, Nick, about Jimmy Butler. What makes him special?
His defense.
He's a dog.
That's how he got on the court.
Yeah,
exactly. What else?
Shit, everything else is some shit you can't really measure.
And that right there. That's the reason why he's not a superstar. He's a defensive superstar. He's mentally one of the toughest mental players in the league. Yeah. But there's nothing about his game that is elite outside of defense.
Would you say Gary Payton was a superstar?
Yes. But he could run the offense. He didn't have to score. He can get everybody else involved.
Okay.
He's a pure point guard. Defensive pure point guard.
And he led that. He was a true leader.
He was a true leader. And Jimmy's a leader. Jimmy is a leader of men. And I think that intangible outside of his defense is the only other thing that I will put above his defense. But Jimmy is not special in any other arena of basketball. He's not an elite passer. He's a good passer. He's not an elite shooter. He's a decent shooter. He's a gamer. Like when the lights are on and you need a bucket, he might have went 0-7, but Jimmy might make this one. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a gamer, but he's not a superstar because you can't count on that. Because there's going to be nights and stretches where Jimmy's going to be 3-for-12. But he'll keep you in the game through his tenacity. You know, so he's not a superstar.
So who do y'all got coming out the Milwaukee-Miami series? FIFO, you said Bucks in seven. I got Bucks in six. Shelton, do you got an answer? Well, I can't think of
Bucks and seven.
Bucks and seven?
Bucks and six. Because I just don't think Jimmy can put up another.
Yeah, because you asked that in the chat. I think he got two more games like that because he scored, what, 40-something? Or like 30, high 30s?
40.
He scored 40.
Left. Yeah, 40.
He only got two more games like that, and it's a wrap. So,
But I could see one of them youngins, the Duncans, going crazy for ballistic for like a quarter and a half. Tyler, because they're dogs. They just don't have the experience. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why I say seven. Because I agree with y'all. Jimmy got one or two more games playing at this level. And then I believe that one of those other guys in Miami is going to have an out-of-body experience.
It may be Hero. Hero.
That's what I'm saying. Like you said, I love Hero.
That youth and how he ain't scared, that's
gonna
dangerous.
Well.
Yeah.
It's going to serve him well.
Dragic at 27. Yeah.
It's seven. Bucks and seven. But Bucks are deeper. They have more playoff experience. I got to go Bucks.
But they need to get Bledsoe back.
Bledsoe
don't. They don't need. Yes, they do. Like we said earlier, need is a strong word. My niggas, I don't know about that. Well, speaking of other niggas we criticizing outside of Giannis, Ken, you brought up Harden. Should he have been more assertive in those final 3 minutes of game six?
So loose. And I don't want to say – no, I'm going to say it. It felt like he ran away from the moment.
You talking about what Chris Paul said at the post game?
Yeah, he shot away from it.
What did CP say? I didn't see that.
He said – I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, some guys don't shy away from moments, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And some do.
Yeah, he says some people ride to the occasion and built for this, and others shy away mm-hmm. from the moment.
Yeah.
That's why Russell Westbrook had the ball.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Because in the regular season, there were times that Harden wouldn't even give the ball to Russell mm-hmm. Westbrook down the stretch because mm-hmm. he knew what was up. In this closeout game, everything on the line, he wanted no parts of the ball.
And Russ was fucking up the whole last 5 minutes,
and at some
bro.
Point, Harden got to be like, man, just get
not even that. They're Tony. We talking about playoff experience.
Harden,
this nigga.
That's all Harden.
But D'Antoni, we.
That's coaching. Ain't it? You can't see.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, okay, all right.
That is coaching. But we've heard from people that have played with him that he's non-confrontational.
Yep.
So, and that's been his whole coaching career.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's not going to make that call.
Nope.
That has to be Harden. You're the MVP. Mm-hmm. You know, you were the MVP at the begging to be the MVP. Man, knock this dude out. And maybe, how about you take it personal about with Chris Paul?
Yep.
And put, yep. put his ass to bed.
Cause he taking it personal.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, he sure did.
Man.
Cause he cut from a different cloth. And again, Harden is another one that I give a whole bunch of criticism to. And this is a prime example. You the MVP. You get 40, 50 point, 60 point triple doubles. Where you at? Where you at? How many finals appearances this man got?
Zero.
How many conference finals? One.
I think he had two.
Was it two? Oh, he lucked up on the other one. But he ain't even make it. Come on, man. Like we have to criticize these guys. Because when you are prolific, Giannis is prolific, right? The 40 point, 20 rebounds, 15 assists type motherfucker. You talking about Harden 40 point triple double type motherfucker? Come on, man. We need you now.
And even if you get, cause it was a lot of driving kick. But even if you did that, you know, we'll take that because that's the offense. It's ran that whole way. It's built around that. But to give it to Chris, huh?
I was going to ask you, Ken, did he look funny to you? Like something yeah. wrong?
Who, Harden?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talking about with his haircut or just how
yeah,
his
that too. It's just something,
eyes,
I don't
man.
Know.
He had
deer in the headlights.
Yeah, bro. Yeah,
that
man.
That spooky, man.
That must have been what it was too. I was thinking when I was watching the game, like maybe something wrong with him. Like, especially
if he don't want it.
It was weird. That last 3 minutes was like, bruh, you can end the series, get some rest before you go after, you know, you got to face LeBron. Like, you don't want to come out of game seven and then face LeBron game one, like a couple of days after that. Like, I'm upset at Utah. Utah, like, they about to get blown out the court.
We'll get you
know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, like, Harden, it's mostly because Westbrook was fucking up so bad. Like, every time he touched the ball, that should have been the click that'd be like, my nigga off tonight. I need to take the ball.
Because he didn't have any turnovers, as he pointed out to all of us in the game that they won to go up 3-2. You know, and I know, you know, yeah, that's great you didn't, but you had 7 tonight. And partly like 3 down the stretch that I can remember in critical
moments. Yes, 3. There was like at least 2, yeah.
A fucking air ball. So at some point you'd be like, all right, man, you know, just give it to me. I'll take my chance because we know Harden will shoot a fucking air ball in a minute. Mm-hmm. But at least we can't, like, we may have a different type of conversation. Like, oh, he's not clutch. He can't make clutch baskets or shit like that. But at least we're not talking about you running away from, you know, this moment where you gotta, like, they had him on the rope. They were up 98, 92. They had like a 6-point lead. Disappeared.
98.
He disappeared. Watching that game though, like I said, down the stretch, I just start wondering that though, because I'm like, there's no way. I mean, my mom don't even watch sports like that, but she know to get a ball to Harden, you know, for one basket. So my point is, I'm thinking like, damn, did they not cause something wrong and they ain't want to say? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
Right now, we're watching as Jamal Murray looked like he's hurt, nicked up a little bit. I don't know what happened. Mitchell
Amber. Knee in the thigh.
Okay.
So.
Hey, that's one way.
Nah, that hurt.
That's one way because, hey, they couldn't, did nothing else work.
Yeah, you take out my nigga, I take out yours.
Hey, that's what Pat Bev did to Russell Westbrook. Hey.
But nah, Shelton, speaking of Westbrook, that's your boy. I got to ask you a question. Is Westbrook overrated when it comes to being a key piece on the championship team?
I don't think so. I just never liked the fit with him in Houston, to be honest. I never liked that fit. I don't really know where he fit, to be honest. I think he has a high motor, but until he accepts his role as like a secondary player, like, look, he need to be with somebody that's better than him and accept that role and know when to go and when. And it takes time sometimes for some people to get there. Some people can get it like in 3 years or 5 years or 7 years. You know, you got to figure out where you are. And in order for him to win and win consistently, he's going to have a person that's better than him and be able to kind of temper that back a little bit. Like, I'm going to run with that second unit. Hey, I'm going to be all, you know, balls to the wall. But with the first unit, I got to kind of control things. I got to kind of be a facilitator more. And I think that's what's missing with him.
I don't think so, man. I think people love to criticize him. You know, he's kind of one of those guys that, for whatever reason, pundits and analysts love to kind of go after. You know, and that's one of the reasons, even though I picked the Thunder to win this series, it's one of the reasons why I kind of low key want them to win, because I don't want to hear.
Well, okay, see?
The Thunder. I mean, yeah, no, the Rockets to win. Because mm-hmm. I hear our lazy takes about Russ not getting out of first round since he left KD. And the reason why I think that's going to be flawed this time around, because when he was in OKC, he was the man, to Shelton's point, and he had Paul George playing second fiddle. This time, the roles are reversed, and he's on a better team, and Harden is better than him and is the man. Therefore, I don't know if it'll be necessary to say that he ain't made it. While it's a fact, because the circumstances are different, I think the critique of that particular part of him needs to change. And if he's not getting around out of the first round after KD, why couldn't Harden get him there? So
I with Westbrook is weird, because it seems like we shouldn't be having these same discussions about his gameplay after all these years.
People especially are who
since,
they are, bro.
Especially since KD left OKC. It's all mental with him. You know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean?
Like, as far as, I think he's his biggest worst enemy. I think if he has somewhat of a composure like Dame, we will be talking about him as.
But he don't have Dame's game. That's partly why.
Well, I'm just talking about composure and awareness of oneself. Like, in that last 3 minutes.
But what makes Russell great is the fact that he has that type of reckless abandon. And if you took that away and you gave him composure, he wouldn't be the same Russ. And the reason why I'm saying that's Dame's game is because Dame being able to shoot from 40 consistently, Dame being able to lull you to sleep with a dribble that boom, boom, and get by you. Russ plays at 100 million miles an hour every moment, offensive defense. That's what makes him great, but it's also what makes him a not championship caliber player. Because what was your original question? Because I want to answer your original question.
I basically said, is Westbrook an overrated piece on a championship team?
Yes, because Russell, when you're a ball handler, you got to have a certain level of poise to be able to dictate the game at the end, to control the game. And he just doesn't have that. And his temperament gets the best of him. We saw how Ricky Rubio was able to take him out of a series 2 years ago. We saw how Dame Lillard was able to take him out of a series just last year. And because of that, he's never, unless he's a third or fourth or even the fifth piece on a team, and that's not going to be no time soon, because of his contract and where he is. But whenever he gets to the end of his career and he goes the Gary Payton, Karl Malone route and go hop on a young and up and coming team or already an established team that's on pace to win a championship, that's the only way he's going to win. But he's not going to win as a key contributor because of his style of play.
Do we have championship expectations for Russell Westbrook?
We had him.
I think we had him. Yeah. I think everybody's just accepted Russ for what he is now.
Which we should. But yeah. When do we have those expectations? When he was with KD?
Yeah. Yes.
KD. Yeah.
After KD left, that was it, right?
Well, we wanted to see if his greatness could lead you to it.
Like, if he was
it
just
wasn't expected, but it's like, can he do it?
Can he be a building block?
Exactly. Can he be your 1A to a championship team? We question that. We've seen it 2 straight years in OKC. That was a no.
He's just a playoff guy. He can get a guy to the
playoffs. He's a stat guy.
Yeah. He can get you to the playoffs.
Yeah.
He can get you to the playoffs, but that's about it. That's it.
But that's what I said, though. That's basically what I'm saying, though. I don't even call him 1A. He needs to be B. And he needs to recognize that he's B.
But he is B right now, Shelton.
I think he needs to be C or D.
I think right now, in his mind, still he's 1A.
Of course.
At worst.
In his mind, I'm saying. Come on.
He's conceded all season long. He's conceded being to being
only
Harden's second.
We saw it last night, though.
Huh?
We saw it last night. The ball was in his hands at the end of the game. That's the 1A.
But I don't fault Westbrook for that, though. If D'Antoni or Harden would have came to him and was like, yo, give me the ball, he would have given the ball up. He only kept the ball because nobody else made that call.
But I think Harden is partly spooked to say something too. I don't know how G Harden is to check Westbrook. I think they have friendly conversations.
I've heard they got a really good relationship.
I know.
They do.
But this is outside looking in. I don't know these guys at all. This is outside looking in. I don't know if Harden is, again, G enough to truly check up in the heat of the moment. Yeah, we could be cool and outside of the heat of that moment of that game, we could talk and I could get into you.
Like Chris Paul would do
to that game?
I thought he did that once before this season, right?
I haven't seen it, but I don't believe Harden
that guy. Those last 3 minutes is probably one of the weirdest moments of the playoffs so far, because it's just like, it just doesn't make sense, any of it. Like, why Westbrook had the ball in his hand, why Harden didn't want it, why D'Antoni didn't recognize either one of it. So it's just like, and it's against a team that not only Westbrook played for, but a teammate that Harden played with. So you would think, and coming into the series, everybody thought, oh, this is going to be a gentleman's sweep, if that. You know what I mean? And now to see it go to game 7, I want to know, my main question, who y'all got?
I said OKC, I think, in 7 anyway, but that's what I've always said. Anyway. Yeah.
I said OKC in 7, so I'm sticking to that.
FIFO, Chris Paul is what you're trying to say. Like, Chris Paul will, if it was Chris Paul,
yes,
he would have said something.
Yep.
And he'll get in your face.
He said something in the third quarter.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So he'll tell you, like, what time it is, whereas Harden wouldn't necessarily do that to his boy. Mm-hmm. He may ask him, you think you can, you know, but he wouldn't tell him nothing.
Yeah. What you got, Ken?
I picked OKC to win in 6. Obviously, that's not happening. But overall, I picked OKC to win the series.
Sticking with it?
No.
Ooh.
I think the Rockets will win this series.
Why is that?
I think the Rockets will win game 7.
Why?
Damn, you had to ask.
I would say, well, before you go, what are you thinking? I actually wouldn't pick it. I picked OKC in 6. I'm actually going with Rockets in 7.
Why?
Just for the fact that, and this is not even a fact. It's just a feeling that I have, as far as Westbrook and Harden are listening and watching all this shit. And for both of them, remember I said it in the beginning of the season, like before the season start, before we dealt with the whole pandemic, I was like, this is a big year for the Rockets. I said, if they don't get to the finals or even a 7-game series in the Western Conference finals, some big changes are going to happen in Houston. I went as far as saying Harden will get traded, but some big changes will happen. To me, it's a sense of urgency. Both of them, they are both in critical points in their career. Like you said, FIFA, where we're at this point in time, you are who you are. This is your game. I'm not going to ever expect anything much after this, after you, if you fail. But you know what I mean? Like, it's that pressure cooker. I feel like with Westbrook and Harden, it has to mean something. And this OKC team shouldn't even have been in the situation they're in now, because they were already up, 3-2? You had a game to close out. They didn't do it. They were up 2-0 at one point. And they lost 2 straight. So they have the talent and roster to beat them. But I just think right now it's just all about that. At this point in time, when it comes to game 7, anything can happen. So it's all about who wants it more. And I would have to believe Harden and Westbrook combined wanted more than Chris Paul.
Yeah.
We didn't see. Go ahead. I was going to say, we didn't see it in that fourth quarter, though, Nick. That's the only thing that, like you said, that fourth quarter, I didn't see that. And then, two, when you got a young team like OKC, you got to step on their neck. That's your job, is to intimidate everybody but Chris Paul. Because that's the only one you can't really do that to. But they should have punked everybody else down when they had the chance. Now these boys got confident. They got the spirit on their side. And they got Chris Paul in their ear. So just as much as James Harden and Russ here, Chris Paul letting everybody on that team hear it too. So them boys think they Superman right now.
And he's all gonna have
them elevated play.
What?
That was it.
Okay. In all honesty, two of those games, the Rockets were up in the, I think he had double digits lead.
Into the fourth. Away. Yeah.
So this series should have been over. Like the OKC came back and won through Chris Paul and his leadership, on the court and making clutch shots. The only thing, cause I'm with you, but I heard D'Antoni is 0-5 in his last closeout games. Ooh. In my mind, I remember what happened against the Warriors.
In game seven.
In game seven, when they couldn't make a bucket.
So wait, hold on, but you're saying that Houston's going to win?
Yeah, that's what I was going. That was my final.
I think follow-up. I have to walk that back because
I'm listening to you and I'm like, you're saying everything I'm about to say. Like why Houston's not going to win?
But go ahead and say it.
Because look, Nick, there's a very poignant thing that you said that we have to accept Russell Westbrook and James Harden as what they are
after this game seven.
No. We have to accept what they are up until this point. And up until this point, they both do not close out games. They either choke or they just don't play up to the level that is expected of a superstar player to close out a team. Both of them in multiple playoff scenarios. So therefore, there's no way that I'm going to pick both of them on one team. There's no way. The history has showed me otherwise on both of their ass. So there's no way I'm picking Houston. There's just no way.
Will that pressure bust the pipes? Like when you get that ball to shoot that three, which you've done all season long, how tight are you going to get?
I don't think it's going to be that because they both shoot, they're both volume scores.
That's the way the Rockets do. We know they shoot 60 a game.
I don't know. Some say they're volume scores. So they eventually going to hit something. To me, it's all about if they get hot this game.
But lost the game because they couldn't hit anything. And they could be hot early and cold late. Exactly. We've seen that too.
Because at the end of the day, what do we say? Playoff basketball is about matchups. Styles make fights. But in the last moments, it's about execution. And are you trusting Russell Westbrook with executing down the stretch?
I used to.
Are you trusting James Harden to be clutch down the stretch? I'm not buying none of that.
I
sell all that stock.
I'm taking both of them and I'm making one clutch player.
And that's even worse. If you put them both together, their record is even worse.
And can you trust D'Antoni?
On top, that's a cherry on top.
It's a stretch. It's a hot take if you want to call it it, but I just feel like
you're going off a feeling.
Yeah, I'm going off a feeling. I'm not going off facts. I said it earlier. I'm going off of a feeling just for the fact of how much pressure Harden had to feel coming in when he got Westbrook. As soon as Westbrook said, I'm coming to Houston, Harden should have known this is my last year in Houston. This shit don't work.
It's not.
Cause how many times can they change the roster, FIFO?
As many times as Harden is in his prime.
Come on.
What do you mean? Come on.
Yeah, Harden's not thinking about that at all.
Exactly.
I'm telling you.
You know what they're about to go do? They're about to go get Joel Embiid. Watch. Heard it here first.
Oh, shit.
There it is.
Where you hear that from?
Don't worry about it.
I need three sources from you, FIFO. Wow.
Hey, I'll be right. I'll be right in this room.
Hey, FIFO, I'm just, my mind, everything is telling me that all of the flaws that the Rockets have, man, that you just can't trust them in pivotal games.
And I'm going to go with history, man. I'm going to go with the odds. The odds tell me that Russell Westbrook and or James Harden do not close out series. We've seen it for years.
I'm gonna stick with my gut. I'm gonna ride with Nick.
Don't come on my side. I'm wagon fans.
No, the only thing I was gonna do was switch back to OKC. Remember, I picked the Rockets. Which
nah, you might be the reason they lose. Now you,
I can't pick them. I
don't blame you for not. It's game seven, so it's a 50-50, but it's just, to me, it's just like, they have to want this more. Like, OKC losing in game seven don't mean shit.
But it doesn't matter how much you want it. It comes down again to matchups and execution.
What was the original?
OKC and seven.
And OKC two.
Okay,
I had OKC and six.
Man, so why are you jumping off the bandwagon?
Because it's game seven. That changes everything. Game seven is different.
Oh, flip flop ass motherfucker.
I ain't flip flop, nigga. I gave them six chances and they pushed it to seven.
I'm gonna stick with my pick.
So is that OKC or Houston?
We'll find out next week, FIFO.
Moving on.
We'll be back after this quick break. Hey, what's going on, everybody out there? This is Ken with Dead End Sports. At MyBookie, winning season has returned. Winning season with MyBookie means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contest, and Squares. At MyBookie, winning season also means hitting all your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. It's time to celebrate the NFL season, so rejoice. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code DESports and double your first deposit. Now, players get up to $1,000 in free play designed to add more excitement to sports you love and the games you bet. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. Make your picks, win big, and collect your cash. Use promo code DESports and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie. Again, that promo code is DESports. That's DESPORTS and double your first deposit.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Wong.
And I'm Josh Lee Kwai.
And we are the hosts of The Command Zone, a Magic the Gathering podcast.
It's your weekly source for everything concerning the game's most popular format, Commander.
Whether you want to discover the perfect old card that you've never seen before, or find out about the hottest tech from the latest set, we've got your back.
Plus, we help you develop the most important skills for multiplayer Magic. We're talking strategy and tactics, proper sequencing, threat assessment, politics, you name it, we dive deep on it.
So why don't you hit pause on the podcast you're listening to right now and go subscribe to The Command Zone for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
We promise you won't regret it.
Well, you won't, but your opponents might.
Yeah, good point.
Let's talk about another series that closed out, it's already closed out. So the Mavs and the Clippers.
Which one, Nick? What we talking about again?
I'm serving you up, Sheldon. I'm ready for it. The Mavs lost the series. The Clippers won. But Luka and even KP before he got hurt, they showcased their asses off as far as in front of the world in the bubble. This brings us back to a question that we had a few years ago on draft night. Mm-hmm. I forgot the year, but I remember the time and I remember the feeling of a trade that went down with the Atlanta Hawks and the Dallas Mavericks. Well, at least it was the third pick for the fifth pick. The Hawks had a third. They traded down for the fifth. That trade ended up being the third pick going to Dallas was Luka Doncic, and that fifth pick went to Atlanta for Trae Young. Who won that trade?
Who won it, people?
I still personally like Trae over Luka.
Wow. Oh, my God.
The reason why is I believe that in today's basketball.
Speaking to the mic, we can't hear you right now.
You can't hear me?
I think it's on purpose.
Okay. Hold on. I'll put it even closer. For me in today's basketball, I think the hardest thing to guard is a 40-foot pick and roll because it spreads out the court so much. And again, that's not taking nothing away from Luka because with the step back three and his pick and roll basketball, his IQ is amazing. But when you get a guy that his rookie year where everybody thought that he wasn't going to be what he became, he averaged 18 points and then in year two averages 30. He increases scoring by over 11 points a game from year one and year two. Also, he was top two or top three in assists per game. And I think he had the most total assists, like the volume of assists. He had the most in the NBA this year. With that being said, if you swap out Luka for Trae, I think that the same thing could possibly happen. I think that they make it to the first round. I think they get bounced by a more experienced championship contender. Because at the end of the day, when you look at KP and then you look at John Collins, who got the better of the sidekick? You look at the rest of the roster. You look at the coaching. You look at the organization. That's a championship organization with a class A1 owner. We just switched owners not too long ago. How many GMs do we have? Did we not have the Danny Ferry fiasco? Did we not have perpetualness of mediocrity? Did we not have Joe Johnson, one of the most atrocious contracts ever? There's a lot of things to overcome with Atlanta. that if Trey was in Dallas, he wouldn't have had to overcome. So Luka is great. Trey is great. Pick your pick.
You got him on the same playing field?
Yes.
But would you say, so do you have Trey Young as a top 10 player?
No.
You think Luka's a top 10
no.
player?
No. Not yet. Not yet. I said that.
Shelton, I need you to respond.
I'll be consistent with that.
Luka is definitely a top 10 player, FIFO. And you're right. I'm going to give you credit for one thing. It is really hard to guard a 40-foot pick and roll, especially when you're home, where that boy was during these playoffs and where he's going to be next year too, no matter what team he was on. The boy's at home. He can't guard it there. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're playing in the yard. Man, give this man his credit, man. He carried that team on his back. I don't care what nobody say. We can talk about KP being better than Collins, which is not true because John Collins got a better field goal percentage than KP.
Whoa. You mean to tell me a 7'3" unicorn that shoots? You know, he's the only player in NBA history. Only player in NBA history mm-hmm. to average 4 3-point shots a game and average damn near 2 blocks.
Field goal percentage.
Field goal percentage.
It's the difference.
Get out of here.
KP averages 18
points a game. Come on. Come finish. It wasn't the same point. Come on, bro. I'm giving you the floor.
Yeah, the point's about the same.
Take it back.
Yeah. Points and rebounds are about the same for those two. If you look up their stats, I think KP is a better player. But he ain't that far off from John Collins. It ain't like he's just
you can't see 7'3", dog.
But it ain't. But it ain't like this roster is just.
He ain't John Connor. He John Collins.
This is Dallas. Hey, listen.
He ain't saving the day, my nigga.
This Dallas team that we looked at was a mass unit, and it was just a unit of people looked like collective put together. These guys were not. He ain't got no all stars around him. That dude got average players on other teams. Like they're average. They're average on the other teams. When you look at those, the team that he had around him. Who?
Kristaps Porzingis isn't.
But if you look at who else on that team would start anywhere else on some of these other teams.
Tim Hardaway was the only other one that would start.
I don't even think he would start. Like, you put him on some team.
It depends where. He's not a universal starter.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
He could start.
Yeah.
Right. So the only player that he had was KP. So this man carried them on his back in the playoffs. And that shot, that one game to me solidified it for me. This dude has already arrived. Now, I ain't going to say he's going to elevate even further. I'm not saying what Trey is going to be. But so far in this deal, where they are right now, Luka is light years ahead. Luka's a top 10 player right now.
The organization is ahead. But player for player, they're on the same playing field.
I can't say that. I can't say that.
Trey Young is the number one,
like you said,
offensively efficient player in the NBA. How can you not say that?
Because yeah, he was the worst. You can't teach size.
You can't hide that shit both ways. Shelton, that's you can't hide that shit both ways.
Like,
right?
you're
not going to use that for Luka, not KP. You
no,
can't
I'm
do that.
Because you try to use it for one and not the other. What Luka's doing can't be stopped. You can't really stop that man. That man's doing it on everybody.
You can't stop Trey. And you can't stop Trey. Trey averaged 29 points a game.
Like Luka got stopped to me, Shelton.
Luka stops himself.
Luka stopped himself. Luka got hurt. That's what happened to Luka. Luka played on one leg and scored 43. And that man was hurt himself. That's what stopped him. That man didn't get stopped. And yeah, he a bad free throw shooter. That's probably the biggest knock on him. But other than that, that dude played ball, man. And I don't know too many people who can play down the cuts like that where he is at this stage of his career. LeBron couldn't do it at that point. Not where he is now. What is it, year three?
All right, so we gave you the time. Gave you time now. Ken, same question to you. Who won the trade? Looking back.
Why we got to do win-up? I really honestly think the trade worked out for both people.
Yep. It was an even
trade. I really do, man. Like,
Is Luka a top 10 player to you?
No.
Where does he rank in at?
No.
Top 15?
Yeah. He's not there yet. I saw way too many issues. The stats look great. You know.
He's a gamer. Not like Jimmy in big moments. He's going to hit that game-winning shot. He's a gamer. When you look at the stats, the poor free throw percentage, the poor 3-point percentage. Like there's still a lot of
in his second game. Year though.
But how long has he been a pro?
Like oh, you know,
this man been a pro since like 12 years old, bro.
He ain't played in the league though. That's the point.
Who has better basketball, America or overseas?
America.
He's been
Trey came up and he came up through that system.
I feel you,
but
he's not a pro.
With grown man, bro.
Exactly. That's a big
Trey difference. Played with grown man too. Maybe not officially, but
not a whole season
and not professionally.
Yeah. No, see, you know what the difference with professionalism is? It comes expectation. When you're in AAU, yeah, your coach may have expectation on you. They ain't no real fans that have expectation.
So then
on
who
you.
Has more expectation, Luka or Trey, moving forward after this year?
I definitely think Luka has a bigger spotlight because he's been in bigger moments right
and
now.
And they've been
there. Correct. Been, and he's performed in those big moments. That's why you got to give 100%. Him
100%. No, and I give him. But Shelton, don't paint the picture that I don't give Luka credit. I'm just saying that if you're asking me who won the trade, I think it's even. Who would I prefer? I prefer Trey. That's not discrediting Luka at all. That's just my preference.
That's what it sounded like to me this whole time you've been talking about it. You kind of called
I think that looking back on Atlanta would have not made that trade. I think looking back on it, if obviously 2020 is hindsight, but if they even could get a glimpse of what Luka could do in the pros, they would have not done the trade.
You know what and obviously this is all hypothetical, but I think if Trey would have went to Dallas, he would have been closer to home in Oklahoma. I think that if they would have still made the Kristaps Porzingis move, we would have been talking about Atlanta should have made the move for Trey when they had it.
I think Atlanta would have made the playoffs if Luka is on.
No, hell no.
No.
I think Atlanta
would have. I think they could have too.
As an AC. No, I would say as an AC. No.
With the same coach.
With the same coach.
With the same coach.
There is absolutely no way in hell.
Both teams would make the playoffs, and I agree that Trey would be in a better position to be. You know, moving forward,
Luka wouldn't be.
Y'all know good and damn well the Hawks are not making the playoffs.
The Hawks are
the best. Y'all said that.
That's the East, bro.
System player?
Orlando made the playoffs, bro.
Too goddamn far. Luka ain't that motherfucking damn great.
Nope.
Y'all didn't see this man.
AC in the East is great.
You're saying him making the playoffs with that team is.
I think that's how much. No, I'm saying. No, I'm saying. I said he's that much better than Trey, in my opinion.
No, he would not make the playoffs with that team.
We gonna have to break down the Hawks.
And that's no disrespect to Trey, because like people.
What'd you say, Shelton?
I said we really gonna have to sit down. I'm gonna break down their roster tonight after the show, because y'all giving the Mavericks roster too much credit, man. Those guys are not. They're not that good. That's Luka. Give Luka his credit.
Yes, no, but hold on, Ken. Here's the thing, Ken. Shelton. Does anybody else on that roster, right? And we're going to take out Luka and KP, right? And then let's look at the rest of them. Who has more experience, Dallas or Atlanta?
Dallas got more veterans on their team than Atlanta.
Who has more size pre-Clint Capella trade? Because that's literally the only last 20 games of the season. So I don't really want to count that as a whole season. Well, who has more size?
Size, you mean? You said size?
Yes.
Well, of course it is, because Luka played with Dallas and KP.
No, but I'm saying let's take out KP and let's take out Luka. The rest of the roster, who got more size?
Oh, they might even if you take out the rest of the roster.
Because Dallas has more size. Look at it, Dwight Powell. Look at Wright, the lefty. They got more size. They got more size.
I don't think so. I just don't think so though.
Okay, look it up. Who got a better coach?
That's all I want to ask. Y'all really think Lloyd Pierce?
Who got a better
coach? Lloyd Pierce is a good coach.
Who got a better coach, Shelton?
The player.
No. Because he's a salesman. He's a salesman. I know him personally. He's a salesman. That's all he do. Look how he's trying to hold it back. Who got a better coach, Shelton?
I like Lloyd Pierce.
All right. Next question.
I like
next
Lloyd question. Pierce, man.
Next question.
Hey, Lloyd as Pierce. I like Lloyd Pierce.
As we are recording this, we are currently watching Game 7. Of the Utah-Denver series, which I, in my opinion, has been the best first round series.
The bubble. 100%.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Man, between Mitchell and Murray, who do y'all think? Well, shit, as we're watching it, who, like, they've been going back and forth as we're watching, they're going back and forth in this game as well.
They're back at it again.
Back at it again. Who's been more impressive to you, Murray or Mitchell?
Jamal Murray.
Less expectation. And he's
just because of his team or just him himself as a player?
Him as individually. Okay. I have less expectation. We know Donovan Mitchell is a motherfucker.
Really? Because I never really heard y'all talk about him like that. As far as consistently.
Since when?
I'm just saying, like, I think he's a top five shooting guard.
We've talked about him consistently on this show. All of us, you here.
Hey, look, I say he's D-Way with a jumper. He's D-Wade with a three-point shot. D-Wade had a jumper. He had no three.
I agree.
He's D-Wade with a three-point shot. So, yeah, no, I've held Donovan Mitchell in high regard.
Okay.
But I expect more out of Donovan Mitchell because of that.
So that,
so he's met my expectation. My expectation for Jamal Murray's game is, I'm not, and not, no disrespect to him, but it's just, it's been, it's low.
What was it before the series? Like when you were coming in, what did you ever think about Jamal Murray?
A nice combo guard, a nice piece. I thought he was slightly overpaid with the 5-year $170, but when you score 40 points in 3 straight playoff games, the only other person to ever do that was Allen Iverson, you're starting to make your value worth that contract because it's a moment. Even if they lose this game, right? That's a moment in Jamal Murray's career that we can always go back to. Man, you remember when the man scored three straight 40-point games? You remember all these shots that he hit, the step back, this, that, and the third, him and Spider going back and forth? That's a playoff moment. That is forever cemented in Jamal Murray's career. Now, he has to continue to do it, right? Because he's elevated himself in these playoffs. But Spider has already done that. And now he's just continuing that elevation. That's why my expectation level for him is higher. Now, my expectation level for Jamal Murray after this season and after these playoffs is a lot higher. I expect him to average 25 a game. I expect for him to make it to multiple playoff appearances and to put up performances like this. But prior to this, I didn't have no expectation of that. I don't know Jamal Murray.
Is Jamal Murray, Ken, this is a question for you, is he the best player on this team?
What did I say last week?
Ken been having trouble asking these questions.
Your words?
I'm interested in this answer.
I said last week, I said in order for them to win this series, Jamal Murray has to do it.
Is that your answer as far as what my question was?
Yes.
That's not answering the question.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I'm trying to say, are you basically saying Jamal Murray is the best player on the team if it comes down to him?
I think I also said that the Rock. Right. I said the Nuggets.
Dancing, bro. I asked him. Nuggets, I know we on the stage. The you gotta
need,
dance.
The Nuggets need to trade Jokic and keep Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. and build around them.
What is you talking about? Okay, so let's put him in a bubble. to answer your question, no, he's not their best player. Joker's the best player.
Okay,
he's currently their best scorer, but I think next year, and maybe if not next year, the year after, Michael Porter is going to be their best scorer just because he's more versatile.
Okay, that's fine.
That's the only
for this. But for this, I'm just saying.
Right, like, now, he's not their best player, but he is their. I think he's their most important player because you got to match the other team's best player, and he plays his position.
Okay,
so he's their most important player in this series, but their best player is Joker.
So why hasn't Joker affected the game this series as much as Jamal Murray?
Because he's playing against the one-time defensive MVP, defensive Rudy. Player of the year.
And he's intimidated this series, period.
You said what?
I say he's been intimidated this whole series. So Joker has been intimidated.
Yeah, so he has a direct matchup that affects Joker's game. You know what I'm saying? Joker still is nice.
He's still putting up numbers.
Yeah. But he's not elevating, but we understand that he's playing against the best big man defender in the game.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you got to make some concessions. And, yeah, you're supposed to play better. But if you're playing against the best big man defender in the game, then, yeah, we can surmise that some of the numbers ain't going to be what we expect them to be.
I will say this. Right now, whether they win or lose, I'm looking at Denver as Jamal Murray's team. Until Michael Porter Jr. steps up, because I think he's going to be a dog.
I still think it's Joker's team.
I think right now... You're looking at it right now as far as the series, bro. Joker is irrelevant. These last three games.
See. This is when it gets to, are we looking at numbers or are we watching the game? Because again, Jamal Murray.
Watching the game, nigga. This nigga didn't touch the ball until the last, Kim, we've been watching the last couple games in the fourth quarter. Well, how many times has Joker touched the ball, really? That nigga be all the way in the fucking corner and Murray go ice out with, Donovan Mitchell or whoever.
But what are we watching now? Dribble handoff. The offense is still central to Joker. The offense doesn't look like the offense without Joker. You take Jamal Murray off the court, it still looks the same.
We talked about earlier with crunch time with the OKC Houston series and how James Harden, we were questioning why the fuck he don't got the ball in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Joker, as you say, is one of the best big men we've seen in the last decade probably because he could do so much. He can damn near average a triple-double himself if you wanted to, I think. Yet, he's been relegated to a Chris Bosh, Kevin Love, stay our ass on the three-point line while I do my thing with Jamal Murray.
But that has always been Joker's game. Do you see where he started and where he finished on this one possession? Even though that's his game. He is a facilitating big man that takes his, he's a face up five.
But this is why they fucking up in this third quarter trying to run this offense through Joker. Joker is a stabilizing force on this team and he helps Denver go and help Denver win games. But they need a force because Donovan Mitchell was giving it to him.
No, I feel you.
That's what I'm saying. If you had to rely on Joker as your best player, like if they kept doing this shit,
but I think
they're not winning the series.
But here's the thing though. Like just your best player doesn't necessarily have to be your most dominant player or your most mentally tough player either. Jamal Murray in this matchup needs to be their best score.
Name me a team that their best player wasn't their most dominant or mentally whatever the fuck you just said. In NBA history, just name me a player with the team.
So the Seattle Supersonics made it to the finals. Obviously, they didn't beat the Chicago Bulls, but Gary Payton was mentally and leadership and everything was their best player. But Sean Kemp was physically their best player. Sean Kemp was the physical best player on that squad. But Gary Payton was the heart and soul. Draymond Green. Without Draymond Green, not saying that they don't compete for championships, but what took them over the top? Draymond Green's toughness, his mouth, his attitude. Irreplaceable. Because little pretty boy, Steph Curry, he ain't that. Clay ain't that. They don't have that about them. Draymond was the personification of what Steve Kerr and Mark Jackson wanted that Golden State Warrior team to become.
And as we've been talking, Joker has been missing the last three layups. Okay. They didn't put the ball in Murray's hand.
He's gonna cause them to lose the series, man.
Yeah, Utah's coming back
in. I don't know what Mike Malone is doing. Like this dude has gotten you back in the series and you're trying to go back to Joker and here come Donovan Mitchell. Like he's on the way. Like he's turning it up.
Ain't nobody in the crowd and he talking shit to somebody as far as Donnie Mitch.
And will it be too late for Murray to match that intensity? I don't think so. We've seen him turn it on.
Murray can't guard his ass because he's mixing them right now.
Murray is nowhere near a defender.
Nah, he's not a defender at all. But at some point, he's going to have to activate. Yeah. They've been trying to go through Joker, man. In this series with Rudy Gobert there, he just hasn't been effective. I don't give a damn. Y'all can put in the comments because I know y'all came at me, you know, after the video went up to my what Joker is averaging. We're
Fuck
talking
all
about
that.
Watching the game.
Fuck all that.
And Rudy Gobert Shelton said it. He's intimidated him.
He has. This whole series, he's intimidated him. And he looks like he'd rather get the ball out of his hands than try to do something. He just tried to make a post move just now. It was a nice up and under move by Joker, but he didn't make the layup. It's like he's intimidated.
It's too much finesse. And for me, Joker looking at Gobert like a white woman at night when seeing a black man across the street. They're going to keep it pushing, but they're going to make sure they're going to move on to the other side. All right. They're going to try to get by somehow, some way. I don't know. I don't like this is where finesse big man. This is what the biggest problem that people have with finesse big man is when it comes down to putting your back to the basket and going against someone who can be as strong as you or as good as you. What are you going to do? How effective are you? Where is your, like all the moves that Joker got during the regular season, all I'm seeing them is just throwing up bullshit. You can't do finesse on Gobert. Gobert swatting that shit or he at least sending you to the line.
Yeah. You need to try to go through him to get fouled.
You got to try to go through. These two big ass motherfuckers, like he over here trying to shoot mid range jump shots and shit, one footed. Like nobody going to, no one gives a fuck about that. And Jamal Murray, I'll take a three from Jamal Murray over a stumbling two from Joker because Donovan Mitchell's coming down with a three.
He sure is. That's why they're missing somebody like Will Barton because Will Barton will get a bucket right now. So him being out of this series was killing Denver because they ain't really got a third person. Talk about that third person. They don't have it because he's not there to take up those shots. And that's who probably would be taking some of these big shots and hit a shot to kind of break
and
that momentum.
Creating them. Is their spark plug. He's the guy when you put in, he gives you high energy. He could get a rebound, push it, create, finish. Like he's their X factor. They don't have that. They don't have that energy. Like because Michael Porter Williams,
Junior.
Yeah.
He plays nice, but he doesn't play with superb energy. Jamal Murray does not play with superb. These guys are for lack of a better word, lackadaisical, but they know where they want to go and they're going to get there. Just like Joker, but they don't have an energy guy outside of maybe Jeremy Grant, but he hasn't gotten that much PT and he's not really that much of a factor like that. But Will Barton is, because he's an offensive guy like that, and they don't have it. You'll see it.
You'll see more Jeremy Grant because Millsaps has been horrible.
Wait, I haven't even seen him since the first two games.
Malone had to bench him. And since he benched him and started playing Jeremy Grant more, we've seen Denver win the last two games.
Millsap has been in the league for a minute.
He just messed up in this quarter. He had to take him out. So you got to play Jeremy Grant. But what is this?
Look at that short. Look at that stumbling ass. Look. It's showing the highlights right now of how Gobert been killing
right
him.
There. Like, what you going to do?
Back down for what?
Nothing.
An offhanded layup.
And look, guys, I like Joker, but I also like two-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year. That stuff matters. Like, so, but Murray's going to have to turn it on, man.
You got to say today again. This is towards the... Hold on.
Good shot, Joker.
Like, they had a 17-point lead and it's down to 5. So
I thought they was going to get blown out the gym.
I did, too. It looked like it, but...
It looked like it. It really did. It looked like it for a second, but we all know it's the NBA. You always get that run by some of these teams. Yep. And when you got a player like Mitchell, you better be prepared to strap down for that second half. You got to make it through this run, you know, try to keep that 5 to 7 point cushion, and then the fourth quarter come out blazing because you got more bench. So hopefully they can do that and get Jamal a little bit of rest because they'll need Jamal Murray down the stretch.
Well, we know whoever wins this series has to face the Clippers. So as we are kind of projecting forward with the next round, who do y'all think who would be a better matchup for the Clippers? Who do they not want to see?
Denver.
Yeah, it would have to be Denver.
Yeah, the size, the skill, the execution that they play with. That's not what they want to see because here's the thing. If Utah makes it, they got how many guys they could throw at D. Mitch?
Was that Joker?
That was Joker.
Look at Joker.
Yeah, it was.
Joker.
But the Clippers have a multitude of players they could throw at D. Mitch. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And to me, if I'm the Clippers, I want Utah. Because it's like, all we got to do is shut you down.
Like they did Doncic.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, Kawhi, PG, Reggie, like name somebody. They can go guard him. You know
Reggie.
What I'm saying?
I say Reggie.
You know
they go win the series with that matchup.
but still, like Denver has a lot more that you have to account for than what Utah does.
I agree. I would love to see it just from a competitive level, but I picked the Clippers to get to the finals. So yeah, I want Utah. But
on the easy road.
Hey, LeBron got an easy road. Shit.
What? Because you work hard in the regular season.
He got an easy road because he got an easy road.
No. You get the number one seed to get
number
the easy
one seed.
Road.
Don't matter right now. No one got home court advantage.
But it's the teams that you play.
Yeah.
It's not always about home in a way. It's about the teams that you play.
You came off that, yeah, was that off had, the top?
So,
off the top, baby.
But you had to adjust your
Yeah, this is before the season started. I had Utah and Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. That was like before anything and before any game was happening. So I still would like to see Utah go to the Clippers because I want to see, I'm a big fan of Donovan Mitchell, but obviously as far as from a just pure basketball competitive standpoint, Denver against the Clippers, I'll be interested in seeing how Kawhi and them boys like handle that, especially after going to 6 with just basically against Luka. How can they respond against a whole squad that's well coached and can just get their own bucket.
But Kawhi's putting on a show.
Kawhi showed up. Yeah, Kawhi always showed for the playoffs.
Well, he had to because PG didn't.
Well, is Kawhi the best player in the league right now, to y'all?
Huh?
Is Kawhi the best player in the league right now, to y'all?
No.
He's not the best player in the league. He's top 3 in the league, and he's not 3.
Who's the best player?
LeBron.
I would say LeBron right now.
Yeah.
I'll say LeBron, Kawhi, and I got Giannis.
I can see that.
But yeah, but look, I don't know what's going to happen in the next round. Maybe Paul George will show back up.
He got to. He can't slack off like he did against the motherfucking Mavs.
I don't have no faith in that.
I hate to toot my own horn, man, but I've been screaming it all year long. And it came true. They better be lucky. That team is deep. Doc Rivers did a good job of coaching. Kristaps Porzingis got hurt and Luka got hurt, but they made that whole series a whole lot easier.
Did he do a good job of coaching or as far as Doc, or did he just luck up with KP getting hurt?
There was definitely some luck because Luka and KP got hurt and that impacted
everything. That's the whole series.
But Doc did a good job though. Doc is always going to do a good job.
Always.
When has he done a bad one?
He's lost a couple series when he up 3-1. Literally.
But that wasn't coaching. I'm not going to put all the blame on him. The players got to play. CP, we know what it is when CP gets into the playoffs. He has not had tremendous playoff success. We see Blake Griffin get hurt every other freaking playoff. That's not all on Doc. And then with the Clippers, that roster was extremely limited. And I chronicled that from the beginning. They were missing that wing creator, scorer type player, a 3-and-D guy on the wing. They never had that.
Let me ask you this one question, Figo. If you up 3-1 and you lose a series, what does that say about you?
That is not all coaching.
What did that say What did that say about Kobe?
Ooh.
When did he up 3-1 and he lost?
Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns.
He got 5 titles though, don't he? Right?
I'm just asking the question that you asked.
I'm just saying he made up for it.
Steve Nash had some moments in that series on.
Yeah, he did.
I'm just saying he made up for it.
Doc
is only won one
make
title.
It up for it. Don't answer the question.
I'm saying he made up
deflecting.
For it. No, I said he made up for it. No, he asked the question.
That's not answering the question. The question is, go ahead, Ken. Ask the question one more again.
It was the question he asked you. What does that say about what was the question you asked before?
What does that say about Kobe Bryant? Is not Kobe? What did that make you change your mind about Kobe Bryant afterwards for his rest of his career?
No, but it made me change my mind in that moment until he obviously rectified the situation.
I'm just saying,
but it was a moment of weakness for Kobe.
I'm just saying, with Doc, I don't think anything's guaranteed with Doc because that title run,
nothing's guaranteed.
Even with that title run that they had with the Boston Celtics. Like, damn near every game went to game 7. From the first round to damn near when they got to the final.
I'm just saying that, it's fine, man.
I'm just saying. I got eyes on Doc. He got to get to the finals for me to believe
him. You have a whole different perspective on it.
About Kobe being Bryant. Of course I'm having a different perspective. We're talking about Doc Rivers,
who won a championship.
He won 8 titles. Kobe won 5.
3 with Shaq.
He won 5 nonetheless.
He won 3 with Shaq, though.
We talking about facts, right? You said he lost 3-1.
And that 3-1 lead occurred after Shaq left.
Okay, and he won 2 titles after Shaq left, too.
I'm just saying, you know, you just can't have it both ways.
I'm not having it both ways.
Yes, you are.
I said he made up for that 3-1 lead. Nah. Has Doc Rivers made up for that? Those 2 3-1 series losses he got on his record?
So if he wins his title, is he making up for it then?
Yes. But he got to get there.
Get the hell out of here.
He got to get there. One title canceled out one of them. The next one canceled out the last one. What do you mean?
Nah.
All right. Nah,
you trying to be slick.
I ain't being slick. Nah, I'm just saying I'm keeping it a bundle. I'm the only one to do that on this show. Everybody else be flipping sides or whatever. I don't want to keep it. I speak for the streets. All right.
Hey, your name not 24/7.
You flip-flop more than
anybody
on this show.
You sure do, Nick.
All right. Another game that came out earlier today, for the second round. We got Boston and the Raptors. Man,
that's over.
Is it already over?
That's over.
Bro, come on. Don't say it ain't so.
Look, I don't want to talk right now, so I'm going to pass the mic to Shelton.
All right, Shelton, what's up, bro?
Man, I got Boston.
What's up with that number one seed?
I got Boston in the finals right now, bro. I fell in love with that team with Kemba all of a sudden, which I said that was a good move anyway. I always talk about Kemba because, you know, being a Charlotte guy like that, Kemba being there makes a difference on that team. I know we give a lot of props to the young guns, but Kemba's the steadying force, and that's the unsung hero of that team. And I ain't see what he did today. What did Kemba do today?
It was Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart hit
5 for 5.
Yep. 5 or 6 in the fourth quarter on 3-point shots.
He had 16 in the fourth quarter.
And they were people running in his face.
He got an and one too. He got fouled at the 3-point line.
That's it, because Marcus Smart got more heart than anybody probably in the league at this point. And that they just got all the elements, man. I don't see how they could not be in the finals at this point. I just don't see it. I don't see how they could not.
But, so they're beating Milwaukee, huh?
Yeah, they'll beat Milwaukee. I think so.
What did I say about Giannis?
I mean, Giannis is not playing. It's not wrestling. This is basketball. This is a team sport. It's not tennis. It's not individual. So Giannis is a greater player than anybody on that Boston team. But the team is better than the other team. That's what we're talking about. Boston has a better team. Kemba has 17.
You know what would be the difference in that series?
What's that?
Jason Tatum can score in a half court. Give him the ball. Give me a bucket. Kemba Walker, we down. Give him the ball. Give me a bucket. Hey. Who Milwaukee got to do that?
Giannis.
But then they're going to lose. But I got Boston, too.
Get six, right?
What? Was that a dance move?
Bro, they hot. Boston. They hot right now. This is frustration. That was a foul on Gobert. But, nah, Shelton, I wanted you to talk about the Raptors, bro. Yeah, I talked about
the Raptors at first, but I said that they had a shot. I never said that with confidence. I never did put a whole lot of stock in that. So
what you mean you ain't put a whole lot of stock in that, nigga? You said it last episode.
No, I did not, did I? I didn't say it like with certainty.
You've been talking
I said
high about the Raptors since this bubble restarted.
Yeah, I said watch them, but I ain't say that they were going
to
win.
How much stock is you? What was that?
Did I say that? Let me look back. I don't think I said
that. Damn, there was a CEO of that damn stock, motherfucker. You had a hell of it.
Nah. I got to look back. I don't remember saying that.
Like a motherfucker, bro.
No, I said I like their team, and I said watch them because they're playing together. I didn't say that they were going to win the series. And somebody asked the question. I didn't watch this game today. I didn't have a chance to watch the game today.
Yeah, I know you avoiding them. They got blown out by damn near 20 the first game. They lost a close game. I said it from the beginning. I think we all did on this stage. Like, they don't have a star. They don't have a go-to guy.
Yeah.
That's the biggest reason. They had that last year, and you saw what happened. You see what happened again with that one. It's DeMar DeRozan years again. Y'all going to get far. Y'all going to make it out the first round, and that's about it.
So it's a one-point game. But it's a one-point game now. I'm talking about the game.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, we're a little bit behind.
We behind, bro. Chill out.
I'm sorry, man.
Mike Malone giving the ball to Joker, man.
I think Joker's on the bench right now. Joker's on the bench.
In the third quarter, Mike Malone blew this game in the third quarter, running the offense through Joker, and he couldn't come through.
He really did because they had this game.
Yep. I'm sorry, but it's not over. But yeah, that's, ooh, he. But anyway.
So y'all, whoever wins this Boston-Toronto series, y'all got them coming out the East. Like, or at least, did I hear that from one of y'all?
So Boston's, bench is a little suspect. Robert Williams has been playing great.
Boston's really only like four deep.
Yeah.
If you're talking about legit guys, like outside of Kemba, Tatum, Brown, and I'll give you Smart as far as he can make him. He's a difference maker. Not saying he's a scorer, but he's a difference maker. These other niggas is like, I don't know who the fuck. They just got a jersey, a Celtics jersey, y'all. I don't know who these niggas is. This is like if you and your mom player year seven, and you just dealing with barely stars, you got random niggas.
I'm like, where does number 73 come from? Who is that?
Who's 44? All I see, what's his name? Thesis? Like, he's scared to shoot. I know he can shoot threes, but he's scared to shoot most of the time. Like, I don't see how they're going to match up with – I don't see how they match up with big guys. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know they have the perimeter on lock for the most part, but they got some big guys, and not even just with Milwaukee, but, like, if they face the Lakers or the Clippers, like, they got some boys who's really physical and aggressive. The tallest player they got is Taco. He just learned how to swim. Shit. I don't know what else he's going to do on the court, so – I like Boston into the Eastern Conference Finals, but I still got the Bucks coming out the East.
Yeah, I'm not going to jump that far who coming out the East, but just staying with this series.
Well, you said it's over.
I'm saying so, this series is over. Yeah, like Raptors are done. And you know, I just don't see it. They didn't have a guy that they needed. Like, they needed somebody to get them a bucket and closing,
What did I say earlier when I pulled up, Ken?
Yeah, Pascal, he can't do it.
And what is he? Big man.
He's another damn Giannis.
Maybe Giannis.
Wow. Yep.
Open court.
I can see that.
He's an open court player. Yep. He's not a half court player. He's great. Love him. Mentality. Love it. Will defend you 94 feet. Can guard the one to some fives. Can switch off on anybody. Can get buckets here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But when it grinds to a halt and I need a bucket because we done gone 2-3 possessions without scoring, he ain't the guy.
Like down the stretch, Tatum hit a bucket. They called an offensive foul on him, but he hit a big shot. Kemba stepped back, killed him. Like they had guys that they can go to, and Toronto, they don't got
Fred VanVleet is their best guy when it comes to that, and that's an issue.
Yeah, because I thought he hit the shot to tie the game. That's how much confidence I had in him with the way he can hit big shots, but it hit the back of the rim. So
he need another baby. That's what he need, boy. He need a 9-month prep.
He can't even work on it.
He need a 9-month prep time to get clutch.
Yep. So.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I got. We want.
Wait, hold on. You done?
What you mean? Uh-oh. Yeah. Uh-oh. What else we got to talk about?
Then we skipped the series.
We ain't skipped no series. Oh, that's all the series that we got left.
What happened Monday? Somebody play Monday or Sunday?
Nah, nobody played Monday. Monday was there was boycott.
No, Monday. It was Saturday. Somebody play Saturday?
I don't think they played.
Who we missing?
Who we missing?
The Lakers?
Nobody plays, yeah.
Well, we know the Lakers won. Dame got hurt.
But we ain't talking about it.
Shout out to Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony Appreciation Day. That's what you want to get to. I thought that's a celebration. We started this episode celebrating black men, right?
Look, we knew that once Dame was gone. Like, I want to give props to CJ and Melo for the heart that they show, and really the whole Denver team. They show a lot of heart in that game. So I want to give them their props, man, because they could have folded and they did not.
Yeah.
Because they had people on the court that literally didn't know where the fuck they were going. Like, this guy, his name started with the E. He was literally, they were pointing for him to go. I want to give them props for that. CJ with his broke back, played hard. Melo had a couple of moments here and there. But without Dame, it was hard. But even with Dame, like I told y'all, what did I tell y'all? I said they had no shot at beating the Lakers.
Damn, Goldberg just blocked
did
the fuck
I, did
up.
I not say that? Okay.
100%.
And all y'all jumped on me.
All I said was put respect on Dame Lillard, and while he played, there was respect there.
Man, come on, man.
That respect he got was that one game.
Dame Lillard played one game, man. Come on. And the injury, yeah, he got hurt, but he didn't have no chance. Kim was right. He told you. He told you, y'all crowned Dame the King too fast. That's all. Just admit it.
What I said, I'm the only
one that picked Portland to win the series.
Yeah, I didn't pick Portland.
You gave him 7.
Because I said, I just put respect on Dame's name. That was the only reason why. There was nothing else. I ain't give you no basketball analysis. I ain't give you no stats. I ain't say nothing but put respect on Dame Lillard's name. That's all I said. And if the Lakers beat him quicker, by all means, I get it. I just wasn't going to disrespect Dame. That's all it
was. Now, we switch people. If that was Giannis, you'd be all over Giannis right now.
Oh, he
if was. Giannis, you know what I'm saying? If there was one of those players, if it was Luka who did what Dame did, you'd be all over him right now. But Dame still get respect. I'm good.
Come on, man. I wasn't all over Luka.
That's a great point, Sheldon.
I wasn't all over Luka.
Come on, man.
How about Giannis? What about Giannis?
Yeah, he's a homer. Dame folded. Give him the same disses that you give Giannis.
Can't have it both ways, Fifo. He had his phone now.
He had it both ways with the side situation, so I'm going to have both ways on this
one. I'm not even now. Shout out to Melo. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did his thing. I hope he go back to Portland. I even heard New York chirping at him again with, what's his name? Jalen Rose.
Gobert is playing out of his mind right now. It ain't even Mitchell. It's Gobert.
You're right, Shelton. And look at
who his biggest hype man is.
And when Utah assumed control of the series, he was the difference maker.
Yes.
In those three games, I guess, that they won straight.
So it looks like they finally made some adjustments. They're double teaming Murray, and now can Jokic bail him out? Because he's going to get his one-on-one shot. Can Jokic win this game for him? Can we see? Now we're going
to
see what's
they're going to try to put. They're going to try to make Jokic put. They're going to try to force Gobert to foul Jokic, and that's how they're going to try to get Gobert.
Murray cold, but Murray going to have to step it up. But now he got two.
It's a lot of time left. Utah's only up by three.
But it's different when you got two people running out of and you got. You know, and it was anyway. Forget all that.
Murray, y'all probably ain't seen that last play just now because it's late. But Jokic passed it off to Murray again. Murray missed a couple shots, and Jokic followed it up. But he's not. He's deferring to Murray. He's right now doing what same thing James Harden did last night. Jokic is deferring everything to Murray. He don't want no parts of Gobert right now. None.
Nope.
None.
But yeah. But I mean, you said Blazers in seven.
Bruh, well, all right, ain't nobody shit. All right. You want to see a man? You want to kick me while I'm down? Yes. I know y'all killing me in the
absolutely.
Chat.
Absolutely,
y'all
yes.
killing me in the chat. All right,
yes.
y'all don't want me to be happy. Okay,
you were very disrespectful.
I wasn't disrespectful.
That was
I gave the Lakers seven. I said it's an even series, but I'm going with Portland if it come down to it. That's who I'm supposed to say. You think I'm supposed to go against Melo?
You're a Melo fan?
You think I'm supposed to go against Melo?
Yep. Yes.
Wrap the show. I'm about to walk off the stage. Hey,
you could have said Lakers in five, but Melo gonna have a good series. That's what you should have said. You've been okay.
Melo always gotta have a good series. I ain't never gotta say that, but my guy, he dropped 27 in the last game.
Look, here's what I want to say. And we're gonna wrap it up because I said this also. It was one of those classic situations where the media fell in love with the possibility of the Lakers losing and Dame playing out of his mind and not really evaluating the quality of opponents that they play and them also not playing defense. And they got some pieces back. So it felt exciting because it would have been a great story. It's also similar to how they jumped on the Dallas Mavericks when in damn near every game they were down by 20 points and Luka came back and they won that game. And all of a sudden everybody was in love with Dallas and Luka. But we all knew what was going to happen, especially when KP was out. It was, you know, and it just made for an exciting state. There's nothing more exciting than LeBron potentially losing in the first round to a Blazer team, an AC. They wanted that so badly.
Because they just want to hate on the man.
But the man's 14-0, and that's over. And, you know, the Blazers, great run. We enjoyed it. But
hell of a run by Dame. That's probably a legendary run just to even get him to the playoffs.
Another bubble moment.
I hope he gets healthy, and we'll see what he do next season.
Oh,
good rebound though.
Yep. Anyway, man, we'll be back. This game is still up in the air. We'll see who's going to close, Jokic, Murray, or
Todd 68
or Donovan Mitchell. Cause really that's all they got.
We're going to have a special show talking about NFL. Cause they said we didn't speak no NFL tonight. And I forgot.
Ain't shit to talk about yet.
Fournette got cut. They're trying to trade Kamara.
Like I said, shit to talk about yet.
hey, let me ask y'all a question though about that. Seriously though, it don't feel like no NFL season about to start to me at all.
Less than 2 weeks, the NFL season starts.
Does it feel like that to you too?
Trash.
Huh?
Does it feel funny to you too?
Nah, it does. Like I didn't even like. Usually, one of my homies, we run a fantasy football league and shit. Usually, we would have been drafted by now.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
I'm not playing fantasy this year.
Really?
Nope.
Ken, we need to have a league though.
That's interesting.
It's got the COVID asterisk on it.
COVID, man. I'm not putting my reputation on the line for that shit back then.
Ken, we need to have us a league though.
What?
That's going
to
do
it's
it.
Not, they may not even finish the season. That happened to me in fantasy basketball. Right when we headed to the playoffs, I was going to win this year. I don't know if I want to do that. I'm playing fantasy baseball, but that'll probably finish.
I don't know how you feel. You take it out football, but you do a baseball where they end the game every other day.
It's just something about it doesn't feel right, man. Feel like it's going to be whack.
We'll talk about football next week because then we'll be a week away from the beginning of the season.
Look at Rudy.
Hey. He said, I'm going to come through. And like
hey, one other thing, just so y'all know, man, I ordered my PS4. Yesterday, so it's on.
You saw it,
yeah. You should have waited for the five, bro.
Yeah, you should have.
I'm still gonna get the five, but I had to go ahead and get my four.
Okay,
I just had to get one back. I didn't want to touch my son, so I got my own. So I'm ready.
All right. Well, we're gonna get out of here, everybody, man. Thanks again for showing up, man. We're gonna watch the rest of this game and see what's what. And maybe just like follow us on Twitter. I think, you know, after this is decided, we'll post, you know, who we got for the next round once we have an official winner. You know, there. So, and then we'll be back next week, man. So we'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, y'all, do us a favor too, man. Please tell somebody next week to watch with you. We're trying to get these numbers up and we appreciate y'all's help, man. Thank you.